Welcome to Making It Small in Music. I am Chris Broski, and I love playing music just to play music. If somebody like hears it and enjoys it, that's just an extra bonus. I mean, it's nice, but it isn't an absolute necessity.
Yeah, and I'm Michael Snyder Barker. Music is my soul, it's my heart, it's my brain, it's, you know, whatever other organ you want to attach it to. And again, you know, I don't care who listens to my music either. I just appreciate it when someone says, "Hey, I like that."
It happens occasionally,
yeah.
You know.
Who's our guest?
Well, so last month we had our guests, Adam Lambert and Sarah Gibson, and they were great, but I think they were a little too great. Our podcast is called Making It Small in Music, and I started to worry that these guys were kind of medium,
yeah.
You know, and I really wanted to pull us back to our roots and talk about music just as the joy of making music and having it be part of your life and not a financial success. And I thought of Sarah Lambert. Welcome.
Not to be confused with Sarah Gibson or Adam Lambert. I just have to point that out.
what are the odds? It's almost,
yeah.
You know, so it had to happen. But yeah, I know. And Sarah, just double check me on this. You're not in a working band, right?
Oh, no, I have never been in a working band.
You're not recording an album, right?
I've never recorded anything except on my cell phone.
And yet, you are one of the most musical people I've met. I mean, I'm looking at your music room right now, and I see a piano, an organ, a guitar, a whole bunch of cases in back. Oh, I see your mandolin. You clearly live a musical life, even though, I mean, yeah, you're not...
Ukulele.
The ukulele. Awesome. I mean, it has always been so clear, because, well, I have not met you in person yet. I know you through our virtual open mic, and you have always come off to me as somebody that music is such an important part of your life, but not in a commercial way at all. And I'm like, that's a person I want to talk to. This is who I want our audience. I think our audience is maybe people who are like, oh, I don't know if I should learn to play an instrument. I'm probably not going to be very good, and I'll never be successful. And I want to be like, that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And so I was hoping that you would be able to let those people know that it's perfectly great.
It is perfectly great.
Awesome. So could we start off? I assume you come from a musical family.
That's correct.
Well,
I do.
Tell us about it. What were your first introduction to music as a kid through your family?
Well, I have to say, my dad was a classically trained tenor, and had a beautiful voice. He was also a Presbyterian minister. So I grew up in the church with a lot of music, and I grew up. He sang every day, and we would listen to him, la 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 la. I mean, all the day, every day, we hear him warm up and then sing in the living room or wherever. And you know, when I was a little kid, I got things, Christmas presents like Sleeping Beauty, the ballet, or Swan Lake. You know, this was before Disney princesses, and that's who I loved. I just loved those ballets. So
Tchaikovsky is my favorite. I love him so much.
Yes. So those are
like
my
the one from Bugs Bunny.
Yes. I did Bugs Bunny too. That's Wagner. But, and then, I played the flute, you know, I started the flute in, I guess, junior high or
school band.
I played the flute through there. And I sang in the youth choir at church. We sang around the campfires all the time. Family, we'd have, church campgrounds. Camping trips and campfires, and we'd sang all the camp songs. And then I picked up the guitar on my own. Nobody played the guitar, and that was, we were pretty classically music people. My dad was pretty snobby about that, actually.
Guitar, that's like a bar instrument.
Well, those folk people. My dad actually threw away my Joan Baez album once because it was too radical. I'm going, really? And here's my brother in his bedroom with the Doors and the Rolling Stones and the Kinks. I'm going, throw away his stuff. But anyway, my mom's family, though, I should put this in. My mother's parents were really gospel-y kind of people. They lived in Philadelphia and retired to New Jersey. And we used to, this is one of my early memories, is we'd go out there every summer, spend the month of August there. And on Sunday nights, they would have these big revival meetings in the theater, on the big movie theater, like the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor, only it was called The Strand. It's on the boardwalk. And there'd be some big preacher coming to give a sermon, but before it, they would have like an hour hymn sing, and I just loved those hymn sings. And my grandmother and grandfather loved them too, and neither one of them had particularly good voices. It was important for my dad to have a good voice, and I never had a good voice, but my grandmother and grandfather did not, but they had something else in their voice, you know, some emotion. And I can still hear my grandmother singing in the garden.
You know what? I haven't been to church in years, but I do miss the hymns. You know, you get to go in and they throw out a random number. I assume they
102. Like, right. Page 102. Yes.
And then you open it up and then there's all these words and notes. And this may be where I first figured out song structure. It's like, oh, wait, there's a part that you sing this the same every time. Mm-hmm. But then there's another part that's different every time. It's like, oh, I get it. And really, popular songs use the exact same structure. Maybe they'll have a bridge or a solo or something like that. And that is something, and that's about hymns too, is that everybody has to sing in church. You know, you don't have to have a good
voice. And when now in those like kind of revival-y meetings, people sang, like my grandparents, with a little bit of oomph, you know, and those good Presbyterians, they're pretty flat sometimes. And they, over the years, I would go to church and I'm going, oh my goodness, folks, could you please sing with something beside
a little gusto. What do you guys want to be, Baptists or something? Come on.
Well, the Baptists have some gusto, but
they do. They do. That was kind of
Presbyterians aren't known for their gusto.
More like known for their intellectual. You're thinking Lutheran, Broski.
Oh, Lutherans are
pretty. No, I'm talking about the Baptists have a little more gusto.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Presbyterians are a little more reserved, but still the music is there for everyone. And it's like, how do you expose young people to making music? I mean, that was really my introduction, that you could do it and you could see how it was done.
So we had music class in elementary school too. And I don't know if my grandson is 9 in the 4th grade and he has music class, but I don't think it's the same. I used to love the songs that we sang in elementary school. I remember the Minstrel Boy, if you know that. It's the Minstrel Boy to war has gone in the ranks of death, you'll find him.
That's new to me.
Oh, well, that's a great song. And it's an old folk song from Ireland. And I just love that song forever. I'll have to sing it in open mic some night.
Heck yeah.
it's got a long range, so it's a little hard to sing for me. But anyway, it's a great song. The other thing where I played guitar was, I was just remembering this, where I really started to play guitar. I don't remember how I got my first. Oh, I didn't get a first guitar. I got a baritone ukulele. And a baritone ukulele, that's because it's four strings and they're the same four strings. The ukulele strings are different. But on a baritone ukulele, it's the four higher strings. I think that's right. And so when you learn the chords, yes, it's the four higher strings. You just learn, and so you can just
like
transfer
D, G,
them.
B, E or something.
You can transfer them right to the guitar, which is what I did. So I started out on the baritone ukulele and then switched. But in junior high school, with Eric Roble, who was my friend, whose father was a Baptist minister, he played the guitar and I played the guitar, and we were both in the band, and we used to go we'd meet after school and sit outside and try to figure out how to play things like Sounds of Silence with the acoustic version. And that's when, and Peter, Paul and Mary, finger picking. He was kind of my buddy for playing and learning.
So you didn't take guitar lessons. You just kind of figured it out and from what was home and your friends and.
And buying Peter, Paul, and Mary books that had tablature in them. I had books, I had Cat Stevens books. I had all these books, all of these books. I probably have them right here someplace that have tablature in them that you can learn to read. I knew how to read music because I took piano lessons as a child. I took piano lessons. We all had to take piano lessons. And I took flute lessons.
Yeah, I had a similar, I played the saxophone and the electric organ lessons I had, which is kind of similar to piano, except it has a drum machine.
You learn how to read music there.
Exactly. It's so nice to just have to not worry about that. I'm not a great sight reader, but I know how to figure it out if I have a little time. And that's so cool. So you started playing guitar, I assume, when you were a teenager. Mm-hmm. And then now it's today.
I played in high school and I played with, Rick went to a different high school than I played with this guy called Buck Buchanan, who plays around here still. He is in a band around here. You're shaking your head. Have you heard of him? He was my buddy.
From where?
They're in the Truba Dads or something is their band.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I still am friends with him on Facebook. He and I went, we were in the same, he went to our church. Our families were really close. He sang at all those same campfires. He grew up in all the same place I did. And we played guitars together at church a lot. And we would play sometimes four people. We played Leaving on the Jet Plane was a big song we sang a lot of. But I played with him. And then I played with a girlfriend in high school. And we played once at the high school talent show. I was just at, if you can believe it, I hate to say this, I was just at my 50th high school reunion.
Wow.
I had saw her for the, and it's the first high school reunion, first reunion I ever went to. But she was talking about that and how we used to play together. So then I went to college and I played by myself or with my friends or something. And then, you know how you do it? Well, I don't know. I got married and I had kids. And then I got a master's degree. I was going to school and school and school and family and kids. I played lullabies. My girls will remember that I sang outside of their bedroom to kind of get them to go to sleep, sometimes with the guitar, sometimes just singing. And I played at holidays because my brother and sister play. So we would play on holidays and, we all love to play on holidays. That was a big thing. Other than that, I didn't play for many, many years. My husband didn't play music. My kids played and they did all the same things I did. Good. I went to go on camping trips. We'd sing. We'd go on family group camping trips and we'd sing.
I just did a video about Christmas songs and I made a joke that the two times people need a guitarist are camping and Christmas.
Yep.
That's when all that practice finally can be made useful.
So then I got divorced. And when I got divorced, I started playing more because and my kids are all gone and I'm home alone. And I so started playing my guitar more. I went back to piano lessons for a couple of years. And then I've been playing more ever since then, though. So that's like the last. Well, I got divorced 15 years ago. But I still haven't been playing with anybody.
Just doing open mics and...
I joined the Ann Arbor Acoustic Jam. That was where I was playing. I think I did that in about 2017.
That's with Bill and Phil, isn't it?
That was with Bill and Phil. Yeah, and I loved that. We met twice a month, and I would practice songs for it all month long. Now I practice for you guys, but you have to do it every week. So it's like a lot more pressure.
Exactly. You can workshop stuff that
way. My standards are lowered. I just have to say.
Yes, we're not really a showcase. We're just getting together and playing.
And that's what's beautiful about it is you can be anybody and play and sing and it's okay.
Or you can be nobody.
You can even be nobody. Yes. You can be
either one.
Nobody is a nobody.
I hear you. And that's why I do like open mics, and that's why our online one, I love having a whole range of ability. Beginners all the way up to experts, because it's like you can learn so much of different things from all of the different levels, and it's just got a great sense of community, and I do love it. But I was going to ask, I heard that you worked with the ARC.
I do. I volunteer at the ARC. I have volunteered at the ARC for 16, 17 years.
All right, I am going to show my ignorance, and I'm not, I know it's a place that has like folk musicians, but could you tell me what is it like? What's up with that?
Started out as a coffee house, and I actually went there in early 70s, but it started out, I think even before that, past their 50th year. It started out as a coffee house that came out of the 60s. But now it's really a pretty wonderful music venue. And Chris, if you have not been there, shame on you. You should absolutely go check it out. Have you been there, Mike?
Oh yeah, I've been there several times,
It's
seen some big acts and some small acts.
I've been there, I was there last night. I've been there 3 times in the last week. But so it's a music venue with live music. I mean, sometimes they're pretty rockin', but it's not like, there's a lot of acoustic and up, but also some rock
The
music.
loudest one I loudest show I went to there was Johnny Winter.
Well, yeah.
Ooh.
Chuck Prophet, would you know him? He was just there a few weeks ago. And
No.
you'd know his
My favorite.
songs.
I would say my favorite show was Mike Gentry's CD release show.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
That was
go to that,
amazing.
but I remember that night. I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Dar Williams, do you know Dar Williams?
No.
Oh, she was there last night. She was fantastic. And she was talking about some of this music and community thing. And I was excited to hear that. Then
Oh, cool.
Friday and Saturday night, they had the eBird Holiday Show, which they have every year. Aaron Zindel as all
Yeah, the
this is
Ragbirds.
the Ragbirds, yes. And she puts on this big holiday show with all Michigan performers, a lot of them, different ones every year. And they all sing holiday songs, and they sing separately, and they sing together, and they sing sing-alongs. I mean, they do. It's just and it's festive, and there's a lot of energy, and there's a ton of young people, which I love, all the young people there. So that was I went to that on Friday night. And
Oh,
then
that
there was
sounds kind of awesome.
Arlo
They had an open
McKinley, who
mic.
I didn't know. He was kind of a rocker guy too, but he got this happens when you work at the Ark. I shouldn't say this, but maybe this will be what you have to cut out. He got pretty drunk, and it was very annoying.
Oh, yeah, people don't do that anymore. In the 60s and 70s, that was
You're
part
not
of the
supposed to
show.
do that on stage when people have paid money to see you, right?
Yeah. They
But
do a
I love.
showcase sometimes. I've seen Ed Scruggs play there once.
They have open mic there too.
And
Well, I
yeah.
don't know if we haven't had open mic since the pandemic. They used to
Yeah,
have
that's what
open
I
mic.
thought. I've been there a couple times for the open mic.
Yeah, I remember, Mike, you told me about the open mic there, but it sounded really competitive. Like,
Well,
you sign up and maybe you get to play a song if you're lucky.
if they pick your ticket.
So there's like a lottery
Yeah.
to see if you could play. I don't know if I want to drive all
Although,
the way out to Ann Arbor for a
oh,
chance
you
to
need to
play.
do
If
it
you
just to go to the Ark.
just to see, I've never been inside. I used to live in Ypsilanti, but back then I was more into metal and whatever. So I think, the Ark wasn't necessarily my jam. It is now, but
But if you bring like 7 guests, you're guaranteed to play.
To the open mic. Well, we don't have open mic right now, so it's not a deal.
Yeah, that's the way it was.
Sounds
But
like things are starting to open up again, though, for better or worse. I guess we're going to find out if that's a good idea or not.
let me tell you what Dar Williams said last night. I mean, she was talking of, everybody who comes and plays at the Ark or anybody who even goes to the Ark is just so joyful and happy to be there and back in front of people and back playing live music. And so everybody comes and talks about that. And she was talking about, the divisiveness in our world. We talk about how much divisiveness is in our world, and she's, pondered that. She writes great songs that have some depth to them. And she said, for her, the opposite of, see if I say this right, the opposite of divisiveness is collaboration. Because divisiveness is isolation, and collaboration requires connection. And that is, and it is connection that we need. And then how we can connect through our expressions of ourselves, whether it's music or not, but how you, but music does that. You express
it does
so by much. Virtue of just even trying to do it. You put you a little, everybody's a little bit vulnerable. I mean, those people who are afraid and say, I can't do it because I don't know how to sing, that's the fear of being vulnerable. And even those people who are great and know how to sing have the fear of being vulnerable. I mean,
yes.
And but it's such a joyful, freeing thing. So I thought that was pretty cool, the idea of the divisiveness and collaboration.
You know, that makes so much sense. And music is one of the things. I can be antisocial, but as a musician, it kind of forces me to collaborate. You know, I'm in a band with Mike. I'm doing this podcast. I'm at open mics and whatever. And it's so good for me, you know, the misanthrope that I am, to force me out and collaborate. And I like the idea of collaboration. You know, you don't have to be best friends. You just have to work in a healthy environment with other people. And it just brings so much, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
But I guess you guys, well, I'm out of my element here because you guys are therapists, counselors. What did you do for money since it wasn't music, Sarah?
Oh, well, I started out as a special ed teacher, but then I went back to school and got my master's degree in social work. And I was a social worker in various capacities for 40 something years. I worked in schools a lot. I worked in special ed schools. When my babies were little, I was in private practice for 9 years. That's a perfect job because you can schedule it around your childcare. And then I went back and worked in special ed programs some more. Then I was a private school high school administrator in Ann Arbor at a small school there.
Really?
And then Rudolf Steiner School. I don't know if you know Rudolf Steiner.
Oh, no, I am familiar with it. Well, yes. I have a master's in education. So do we all have master's degrees here? Master's,
yes.
Represent. It's kind of the milquetoast PhD.
Well, and then after my divorce and my kids left the school, I switched and I went into addictions and I worked in addictions at Brighton Hospital, at Brighton Center for Recovery now in Brighton for the last.
They have a great program.
15 years. I just retired from there last July.
Yeah.
So when I was there, I did a lecture. I developed a lecture that I was really proud of on music in the brain, you know, because when you're in addiction, it damages your brain. I mean, and that's part of the problems that you have. And so this was about how you can use, how music and the use of music, listening or especially performing or participating in, will help your brain to heal. And I got some YouTube videos on it, and I talked about how, good Lord, Mike, help me. What's the feel good chemical?
Dopamine.
Dopamine. Thank you. Dopamine. how music will produce dopamine, and it also, and listening to music produces dopamine, but playing music will do dopamine and oxytocin, which is the feel good chemical, and bring sense of community. So this is brain research that I was using, and it reduces cortisol, which is the stress stuff. So I had all these little lectures on. But then I would tell people at the beginning, I'm sorry, guys, but, you know, there's a participation element to this lecture, and you're going to have to participate. And then they'd all grow, and I'm going, and it's not karaoke. So if you really want to do karaoke, we can. I have karaoke options at the end if you're brave enough. But that's not what we're going to do first. So then I have these. I have them back here, too. You can't see those, but they're back there with the cases. Boom whackers. Do you know what boom whackers are?
I don't.
Boom whackers.
Describe.
Lots of children, and lots of elementary school teachers use them now. My daughter was, I have a daughter who was a music teacher for a while. Now she's getting her PhD. But she gave them to me so I could play with my grandson. They are plastic tubes that are cut to certain lengths and tuned.
I have seen those.
Yeah, and so then you know, you play them, and you can play it. Different people hit them against something. I would say, it was always fun because you can hit yourself, but don't hit the other guy. and then you you know, take you play a song. And so I would make everybody. I need five people. You're a G, you're an A, you're a C, you're a B, you're an E. And then I have it written out on a piece of paper. We did The Saints Come Marching In, and we did You Are My Sunshine, and I had some Christmas songs. And I would do this in this group of, you know, sometimes it would be like 10 gnarly old guys, crabby. And I'm doing my dog and pony show. I swear I never had a time that we weren't all laughing by the end.
That sounds, you know, I would love to see that lecture, and I'd love to repeat it, actually, in my group.
Oh, you should. You definitely should. You need a set of boom whackers, though. And the rest of it, I can just show you the YouTube videos I used.
Oh, right. You have some. Awesome.
Oh, and then
just your research, or you
I
don't
researched
have...
them. I didn't make them. I researched. Oh, they're brain. I have two brain researchers who are presenting. And then I played some. I played an Eminem song, because you know I have to play to my audience.
Yes, target
and,
market.
It was an Eminem showed up, and well, sometimes I would have not gnarly old men, but gnarly young men.
Got it.
And they Eminem when he was playing at the Oscars, if you remember that. Oh, this is video
Which,
that.
Was it the one with Elton John?
Or, no, it's 2019. No, recently.
Okay.
Yeah. And he, and I just wanted to get them to see the response of the audience because the audience, it was so cool. So, I mean, that was, and then we did a rhythm thing too. So.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
It was really fun. I really loved it.
Yeah, I've been doing those substance abuse groups for, you know, 25 years. And I've probably had some people in common with you.
No, but no, what we can't discuss that. But yes,
no, yeah. Of course.
That's so cool that you actually had a musical session. Yeah, you should definitely rip that off, Mike. It sounds like bringing the boom whackers out would probably make these group sessions a heck of a lot more fun.
Oh, they are fun.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah. No, it's very nice. And, you know, you after a while, you do need to become very creative in the group creation so that it doesn't feel old for you. Because, you know, you could get into a place where the same material over and over and over again is so boring that we don't present it well anymore. So you have to get creative.
Yeah, it's got to be fun for you, too. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So that does that.
Now, you're a songwriter, aren't you, Sarah?
No, I'm not. I wish I was. I probably could be, but I have not really. I wrote one song, and if I tell you this, you're probably going to make me want to make me try to sing it to you at some point. I've never sung it. I sung it in front of one time. I sang it in front of Phil McMullen, and he was in a little on a little Zoom thing. It wasn't the big open mic one. But anyway, I wrote it during the pandemic, and it's called Hungry for Harmony because I was. Because I love I love harmony. And I was just talking with them one day and I said, you know, I'm just really hungry for harmony. And I go, oh, that should be a song.
That's a song.
That's a great title.
Yeah.
You're right. I you can't do harmony over Zoom.
No, you can, but nobody can hear you. So that's what I said. You do the best harmony over Zoom because it's always right.
That's right. Especially when the mute function's on.
Yeah, it is right. It's got to be on, or otherwise it won't sync. So that's one of the things I want to tell people people who think that they don't know how to sing or they can't play music. And I would see this in my group sometimes. I mean, people who were so scared to do it that they couldn't keep a beat. I mean, there would be people who can't keep a beat because they're afraid of doing it wrong.
I don't understand that.
Well,
drummers.
So I would just give them a boom whacker and say, just go one, two, and just do that. That's all you do. But you can do it. But you have to get comfortable and be lax a little bit with yourself and quit being afraid. You know, this is true of art too. I also have artists in my family, but of the visual arts, the little children sing. little children
Right,
draw,
right,
and
right.
they don't have inhibition. They're not worried about being not good enough. I mean, they are pretty soon, but at the beginning, they're not. And that's something that we put on them in this world and put on ourselves is I'm not good enough, or I'm embarrassed to be. And you need to let that go
It's
because,
ridiculous perfectionism. It's
well,
a standard
but
that's
it's
never
but it, but I
attainable.
mean, to say that is to be a little bit harsh in the judgment, because I think it's pretty endemic. I think it's
Yeah.
everywhere.
No, it's
And
not just about music, is it?
no, and
No,
it's
no.
and it and it's
Yeah.
a, it's a, the, one of our great challenges, especially in this world that is increasingly isolating.
Yeah, well, where the internet has brought us both more connectedness and more isolation at the same time. It's like the worst of both worlds.
So how to be comfortable with yourself in the presence of others. So, I mean, even if you're just singing at home by yourself, start out there. Just sing by, or sing, the singing
I
along
like
with
the
radio.
car is where
Do
I
that.
prefer to
Yeah.
sing.
Yeah.
It's you can put your backing tracks right on there and just go nuts. And you know what? I still will have people give me looks like, oh, look at that weirdo singing in his car. You know what I do? I sing
But Chris,
right
that's a
to them.
project. That's a projection in your head anyway,
Exactly. It's
because
young people.
maybe you think they're looking, maybe they're not, maybe they're just, and it's that we think other people are judging us constantly, or
Right, right.
honestly, most people have better things to do.
Well, no, not these
Agreed.
people. I mean, they're teenagers generally. And you could tell the look that's just like,
Smile,
okay. Oh
you
my
smile,
God. They
you smile and
sang.
wave. Yeah.
But it is kind of back to where we were, like your little kid, and you don't you sing and you play and you do whatever. And then it is something like around puberty hits. And I don't know like what age range of kids you worked with in school, if it was primary or secondary, or
All the
sounds
way
like
through.
both. Yeah, I taught junior high for a year, and it is a difficult time, and it does seem things really ramp up where suddenly what other people think of you is the most important thing in the world. And I feel for them. That's a terrible thing because boy, people are not everybody is going to like you. And if you're basing your happiness on what other people think, no wonder Joe's poor kids are so miserable.
And you lose the connection to yourself. You lose
Yes.
the ability to be happy and comfortable within yourself and know that you're okay. Whether you're flawed or not, we're all flawed, let's face it.
We are. Yeah.
But that you are okay. You're an okay human being. And you don't have to be a rock star. You don't have to be the greatest artist or writer or orator. But you
That's
can
good because nobody is.
Yeah, you can
Well,
be
and you're
you.
right, Sarah. It's all about the joy that this creativity can bring us. When I'm working with people that are particularly depressed, I encourage them to engage in something that's creative, so they can look at it and say, I did this, and have those dopamine experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem, that's the thing is with creative, it is opening yourself up. Now people can criticize, and with the internet, people can criticize you anonymously from
And
all over the globe.
we don't even need people to criticize us. We are really good at criticizing ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody insult me more than I have done to myself in my own head. It's like, yeah, that was a nice try, but I could do better.
So how can you get to this place where you just can enjoy? And I
Yes,
think
that's what I want to know. Tell me.
music. Well, you said it at the beginning. Music is an opening to that. I mean, if not everybody, I suppose, is. It has to be connected to music, but I think a lot more people can be than are. It is just an opening to, what in that resonance that's inside of you
Right.
reverberate to the outside. And there's a joy and a freedom in that that is, you just have to do it. Last night, with Dar Williams, she had us singing along a song at on a song that she says, and she said, Now, you can do this. Everybody's got masks on. Nobody will even know whether you're singing or not. And try harmony. And if it sounds really bad, you just turn and look at the guy next to you and say, I really appreciate your trying that. But this idea of don't worry about it, just do it. And Matt Wetrowba, he's another great one for
Yeah.
this. He has
Yeah.
a day after Thanksgiving program at the Arc every year. Matt Wetrowba was a DJ on Does Folks Like Us, He's been around for decades. He does sing-alongs a lot. He talks about Pete Seeger being his mentor, and the whole thing of Pete Seeger talked about community sings, the importance of the community singing and how that brings people together in a connected way. We just need to do it.
I think we just need better technology so we can sing together on the internet. That's the problem with all this Zoom.
Well, that would be nice.
You can't harmonize. Like your song, Hungry for Harmony. Yeah. Like, oh, I miss it so much. Yeah. I know on our, what have I seen on our open mic? Well, there was Dan and his wife, Molly, would come and sing harmony. And oh, it was so great to hear because everybody, all this solo singing.
Well, then there was that guy that had the playback machine where he sang harmony with himself.
Oh, yes. Right.
That was really
percussion
cool.
Percussion
player. Yeah.
Who? Well, no, I think you're talking about Jay.
His name was Dave Mason. Wasn't that Dave Mason? Because I remember Dave Mason, right?
I don't remember. I or just maybe, heard.
Okay,
somebody
guys,
just got a harmony pack.
On the other open mic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it might have been on the jam one.
This harmony pedal they got was mind-blowing. It sounded perfect. I don't know what happened. I mean, it's not the same as singing in harmony, but I guess
or
it's
with another person. It's just, you know.
Yeah. But and I know, like, Bob Hausler, he has a looper pedal. So, like, he can record himself in the looper pedal and then sing over it. Yeah. So you can squeeze a little harmony out about
that. That's what Phil was doing last week, too. But that's still not the same as singing with somebody in the moment because you have to attune yourself to that other person. And honestly, it's sometimes it's bad. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I mean, sometimes it's not what it's supposed to be. But that doesn't matter.
I hear you.
You just keep
working
at it.
There's this one song that Chris and I do. I get so excited if I get... One time I get the harmony right, two times it's a bonus. I mean, there's the same, you know what, old man in the mirror.
It's old man in the mirror, and I know, and the harmonies in that are not straightforward because, I mean, it's not like parallel thirds or fifths or something. It's this weird chromatic chord progression that kind of changes key and whatever. I am really throwing a curveball at Mike for this, And you know what? When he gets it right half the time, it worth it. Totally worth it. When we nail it. But you're right. Is harmony isn't like Hungry for Harmony to me isn't just about musical harmony. It is about harmonizing with a person. They're
being
doing
harmonious.
A thing. You jump in and it is like collaboration. This
collaboration,
is the perfect musical collaboration is harmony. You, both of your music works together to create something greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And that is what, boy, I would love to sing more harmony.
Mm-hmm.
But, well.
Yeah. Someday we'll get back into live music together again.
I feel like
Maybe I'll go. We'll meet you sometime at that Phil and Bill song circle. I get the messages.
Well, they aren't meeting now. They're not doing online now either. That right now they said they were holding off until January to see where the pandemic was, but it's not looking good.
No. I've done their open mic once.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I used to go there at the senior center. I used to go there all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot. Yeah, we got a lot of good people from that into the online open mic. Mm-hmm. And that was really great.
Yeah, Millen.
Mm-hmm. Millen.
Millen always.
And, Phil. But did Bob Hausler, was he part of that? Or is
no.
he just...
He's
from
in Saginaw.
He lives way up north.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I meet people online. I have no idea what the country...
Well, that is a beautiful thing about the... The Zoom online mics is that you can come from anywhere, right? You know, like those folks that come from Pennsylvania, they're pretty cool.
Ken and Carolyn, they're so good. And then, right, Rich is out in California. He just came to Michigan a couple days ago for a concert, so that was cool.
I just wish we could have more community music more and just encourage people to do it. Encourage our children to do it. And right. I take the Boomwhackers to Christmas parties. I've done that too. take them to parties and
that sounds awesome.
You always
what do you think we can do? Like, so As I said, I felt like I was really introduced to music through church and then kind of through school, but it wasn't, it's school band isn't really a practical thing outside of school band. You know, the singing at church, that's something you can do anywhere. And yeah. How do we introduce our kids to this now? I mean, other than just brute force, which I've tried and haven't had a lot of success with, but okay, let me ask you this. I was on a discussion board a couple weeks ago about music theory, and somebody was asking a question about what music theory they need to write music. And somebody was like, well, what instrument do you play? And they're like, I don't play an instrument. I have a digital audio workstation. And I'm like, get an instrument, please. And I quickly looked up, you know, they're like, well, I can't afford one. So, okay, hey, you can get a Casio keyboard for $50. You could get this, I saw it like for $150. I found like an Alesis workstation with a stand and a microphone, like everything you need. How, I mean, maybe is this a way that we can let the, you know, the young people who are just used to electronic and whatever kind of bridge the gap? I don't know. Does anybody have any ideas?
I don't know what his workstation does. Does it have a, you know, can you just start, yes, start with rhythm? The boom, 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 boom. I mean, never mind trying to compose songs. You got to start someplace. My grandson, who is 9 now, I mean, he kind of resists music because the rest of us do it to a certain extent.
Rebel.
He's not really rebelling. He just isn't. But he'll come and he'll mess around on the piano, and I'll try to show him a few things, and then maybe he takes it, maybe he doesn't. Then he, I also have this little, I forgot what it's called. It's like a little dulcimer thing that is very easy to play. I had it for my kids, where you put a card underneath it, and then you hit the string it says, and it plays Ivan's Christmas carols. And he likes that. He loves that, and he'll play that when he's here, especially if we're like playing Christmas carols. He'll try to pick out the Christmas. So, but he's not very good, but he likes it. We, last year with my family, because we couldn't get together, we did two things. I did it on the other online mic on Edmund Fitzgerald, when we had the Record of the Edmunds in November. It was the 45th anniversary. So my brother, my son, these were different windows in the Zoom, was my brother, my son, my daughter and son-in-law were together, myself, and I think my sister was there. And we sang at the open mic the Record of the Edmund Fitzgerald, taking different song, different verses, and we had harmonica, and my sister and my niece were there, and she was playing the violin and clarinet. I mean, we have very strange instrumentation connections.
I love the ensemble.
And that was a blast, and my grandson really liked that. And so then we did it at Christmas with Good King Wenceslas, just for our own family online. And he took the boom whacker, and he just was sitting there hitting the table behind me. Boom.
Nice.
And then we'd have to say, okay, now stop. But so I think his interest in music, I don't know if he'll ever actually take it further, but it's exposure. So the best thing you can do, I think, is for your kids is to make music a part of their daily lives. Oh, we sing Grace at the table, right?
Sing Grace?
Always sing Grace.
What? How have I never even heard of that?
For health and strength and daily food, we praise thy name, O Lord. That's one.
And
then we can sing it in a round, right?
Oh, I bet that sounds great.
And sometimes we do Dona Nobis Pacem in a round if there's enough people. Or we do blessings on the blossom, blessings on the fruit, blessings on the leaf and stem, blessings on the root, blessings on our meal.
Oh my gosh, I would have loved saying grace if we got to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a very musical family. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, that's easy to do, though.
Well, it can be, yeah. Unless, you know, you've got adolescents who are mortified of singing. And, yeah. But yeah, I guess you got to start early, you know, get the
used to it. Sometimes. Well, I have my youngest daughter, who's not the musician. She's the artist. She's 31 now. She doesn't sing. And we'll sing. So we'll sing a Christmas carol or something at the table, and she'll just hold hands too. And she'll just hold hands, but not sing.
Yeah, not everyone has to be totally into it.
No, but she tolerates us, right?
That's nice. one of the things that you did in the open mic that I just thought was so cool. Oftentimes, I love it when you'll have a theme and you'll play like songs about a certain thing, and it's a whole show
about it. Yeah.
And you had just bought a camper, mm-hmm. and went on a trip and came back and sang a bunch of songs about mm-hmm. your trip, and it was so cool. And I guess what I was wondering is, I assume you take instruments with you in your camper. What travels well?
I took my guitar. I took my older guitar, not my new one, and a ukulele, because my daughter was with me for part of that trip, and she plays the ukulele. So on that trip, I had my guitar, and I just kept it in this camp.
Tell me about, like, are there traveling songs? You know, my wife wants to get like a camper van and stuff like this.
Again.
And it's like, what?
I'm always making music with my friends.
So good. Oh, I love Willie. And, but yeah, like, what, I guess I'm looking at a possibility of doing a little cross country trip with music coming up. And do you have any, on the road again? Check. Anything else? What are good traveling songs?
Oh gosh, it's kind of organic. They just come up. Well, what I sang was California Dreamin', because I was going to California.
Oh yeah,
that was one. And Rocky Mountain High, because we went through the Rocky Mountains. I can't remember what else I sang. Oh, The Great Divide, because I was going across the Great Divide, and it's like a watershed of my life. I was moving to a new stage of life in that trip. So, but I don't, it's kind of organic. It just kind of comes up.
Do you have like, does the person shotgun have to play music for the driver?
All those Eagles songs have seemed to be, right.
Oh, and then Eagles Greatest Hits, Volume 1.
Arizona, I was standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, and I called up my brother who plays that song and sang it to him while I was standing there.
Oh, that's so cool.
You took a picture too, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Perfect.
He had done the same thing for me a couple years before. That was what was funny. It was that he had called me and said, "Guess where I am? Standing on the corner." Yeah.
That's so cool. All right.
Rise shotgun. I don't know. When I was, it depends on who I'm driving with, actually. With my daughter, yes. My daughter picked out all the music on the way when we were driving together. When I was coming back with my friend from the Sault Ste. Marie, we would listen to audiobooks.
Ah, because I figure a ukulele is a good passenger instrument. Like a full guitar, you might end up sticking the headstock into the poor driver's head.
No, you can't do it while you're driving. I don't think we did play while you're driving, though. We didn't play at all. She didn't even play the ukulele. She could have probably done the ukulele while we were driving.
All right. Well, maybe I should do that.
In the past, I have done things like a recorder. You can play a recorder.
Right.
Very mm-hmm. portable instrument. Well, you have your mandolin now, so that might be good. That might be a good shotgun instrument.
You know, you could play a harmonica.
Harmonica.
An attachment.
Right. I have a harmonica.
Attachment, and you can drive and play harmonica at the same time.
You have to be sure you drive. I don't drive and do anything when I'm pulling the trailer. I want those folks out there who are on the road with me to know that I am fully attentive to my driving.
You know, that's probably wise. probably a good plan.
Well, you could still sing, right?
Oh, I do sing. Harmonica is a big instrument. My brother plays harmonica a lot. I have a couple of harmonicas. I don't play them very much, but yeah.
I got one. And, I played instruments for years, and this is an instrument that for some reason just confuses me. I even got a thing to put it around my neck. I know, but like the holes are so small. I'm like, how do you direct it? And I don't even know. And it's so strange.
And when you do the scale, you have to breathe in twice at one point, which is a little tricky. You always have to be sure you have enough breath left.
there's no, and I can't see it. Like, how do I know where I get to that point? It's not obvious.
That's eerie. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard Peter Madcap Ruth. He's a guy to listen to.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Fantastic, yeah. Oh, my gosh. A good harmonica player is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I will never, I think I've given up. I'll just sing.
Don't give up. It's just, you have to stretch. Here we are talking about how you have to just stretch yourself. Yeah. Just relax with it. Breathe in and out. Don't worry about hitting the right notes. Just hit any notes. Make up a little sound. You know, a little tune.
Well, okay. Chris, you've inspired me.
So it sounds good. It doesn't have to be anything. It's just something that sounds pleasing to your ear.
And you can always do what you normally do. And when you make a mistake, you give me a dirty look.
But that's if you're...
Come on, Mike.
We're not talking about performing. We're talking about just playing.
Yes. I know.
For your own...
I was joking.
Edification.
You know what? I might try that then. I'm a little anxious about it. One thing that I have been trying.
Chris, okay, I'm pressing you now. Why are you anxious? You're playing by yourself. Nobody's listening. Nobody's judging.
I guess I'm thinking about if I do.
You're judging yourself. And you have expectations that are
I do. It's like, you know, this should sound better and it doesn't.
But that's what you got to get rid of that expectation, and say, never mind what it should sound like. Let's just deal with what it does sound like.
Well, that's kind of hard when you live in a house with other people. You know, I would love a soundproof room. And I don't even know, like, how do people who say live in New York, how do you practice with all of your neighbors and everything in an apartment building? I don't know. I've got a pretty good music room here, but still you can hear me playing all over the house, and there might be people trying to take a nap or something.
Well, they'll let you know. My girlfriend lives in Chicago on the 10th floor of this high rise, and she has a neighbor. I was there with her for a couple of weeks after she had surgery in October, and she has a neighbor who plays a variety of instruments, and he practices, and you'd hear him. And, you know, mostly it was not unpleasant noise. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't, you know, he'd play the same piece over and over again, the same three measures over and over again.
That's practice.
But it wasn't, I didn't find it offensive at all, or she doesn't seem to mind it either. So I think that, again, you're expecting people to not like it.
Yes, I guess I am pre-expecting them to criticize me before I've even given them the chance to, you know.
And if they say, hey, I'm trying to sleep, you say, okay, sorry, you know, and change your behavior or play softer or do something else. Yeah.
Right. Something new I'm going to try, though, and I think I'm going to try this tomorrow. We'll see. I am working on foot percussion. So you can get like a little stomp box or something. And I'm thinking about trying to incorporate that into some of my acoustic sets, just to give it a little more dynamics. And I've been playing with Mike for years, and I'm kind of spoiled with the drum. So if I go out and I play something solo, I'm gonna give that a try. So I think tomorrow on the open mic, I'm gonna bring out at least a little prototype I have of a couple pedals. I'll have a kick and like a hi-hat.
Nice.
And,
fun.
And look out.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Man, he's already replacing me.
Come on, you're in like three other bands, Mike, so you can't shame me.
Last year, my Christmas theme, I have Christmas, I'm big on themes whenever I have to come up with multiple somethings, like, so it's themes for my open mic night, but I have Christmas present themes, and last year, one of my themes for everybody in the family was some kind of a little percussion instrument. So everybody got something, and I my son-in-law got a because he also plays the guitar a little tambourine that has an elastic on it, and you put it on your shoe and you can see
I used to have one,
right? Because that's what I was thinking of when you're saying that, right? And then I kind of wished I'd gotten one for myself.
You know, I've been going back and forth on that. What I'm worried about with that is it's going to be hard to stop. Like every time I move my foot, it's going to make a noise, where if it's like an electronic button, I can always, like, if I have to walk away, I'm not going to sound like Santa's reindeer.
You know, it's not so bad. When I was playing cajon regularly, I used one of those foot tambourines to add to the sound. And it only works when you're tapping your feet. You only hear it then.
Yeah, but you sit down and play the cajon, right? And I'm standing up and playing guitar. I worry that I'm gonna like have to tap my feet too much. I'm gonna fall over backwards. And then I gotta stop myself. It's a drum solo, is what'll happen, I'm assuming. But yes, I'm gonna start that. I think I've made a commitment officially tomorrow.
So some of those folks out there who don't know how to start could just get a few little percussion instruments.
Yeah.
Give them to people in their family, and everybody, it's kind of a variation on the boomworkers. You know, you get the little scraper, you get the rattles.
Shaker.
You get the foot thing going, you know, and everybody just practice playing together. And you can start out boom, 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 and then somebody's going to go boom, 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 and somebody's going to go boom, 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 and then pretty soon you've got kind of this little fun thing going on. Anybody can do that.
I'm not sure that people recognize that everything is rhythmic. Everything we do follows some sort of rhythmic pattern.
Your heart, and your breathing.
Yeah, and so, you know, as people can become in tune with themselves and in tune with the rhythm patterns, then they can play a percussion instrument. And you don't necessarily have to do all the counting.
No, you just get into it. It starts to just
roll.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. You feel it.
The drum circle things are really cool. People should try drum circles.
I've never been in a drum circle. It sounds kind of fun.
I have once.
What do you do? Is it as simple as it sounds? Or is there like a certain etiquette about like, does somebody, a drummer get to lead or?
There would be people who would take solos. I brought the wrong instrument though. I didn't have, I had the cajon. You know, other folks had those other things. I can't think of the names. Djembes, yeah, djembes. And some had shakers, and they did take turns doing solos and whatnot, or, you know, just playing steady rhythms. And it was a lot of fun. My hands hurt because that was before I'd gotten the broomsticks for the cajon. I wanted to play loud enough to be heard, you know, so I played loud. It hurt.
Injured your hands.
That's
well,
right.
I guess you could play less, like fewer but louder notes. Just play the whole.
But Sarah, you're right. You know, music is life, and everybody feels rhythm, and you know, everybody who can talk can sing for themselves.
What do you think? What so?
Well, say something that depends. You know, you could also play to not be heard. I mean, but that sometimes, you know, that you don't have to, because people are worried about their sounding bad. If you're in it and you are feeling like, I don't want anybody to hear me, then just sing softly or play or do your rhythm softly. It's okay to do it that way. You do it because you do what allows you to be comfortable. And it's not really for other people.
It's also musical too. I mean, volume, you know, there are things that are appropriate at low volume and high. And I think when I see a lot of musicians like really mature, well, all right, I'll speak for myself. When finally I made a big breakthrough as a musician years ago was realizing when I shouldn't play and, you know, step back, let somebody else do something. And then when you come back in, it sounds way cooler, you know?
Because then it's really a collaboration. It's not just about you, it's about everybody.
Yes, it's not just everybody playing at the same time.
Or next to each other, you know?
Yes, in the same room. Sometimes even the same song. But well, you know, let's not go crazy.
Because I got this classical music background. If you watch, like my niece, I didn't tell you this part. I have a niece who's getting her PhD at Juilliard.
Oh, whoa. That is making it big in music.
Yeah. Well, she's, but it's just, So she, when you watch her play or other people play, if like a string quartet play, they make a lot of eye contact with each other. Mm-hmm. While they're playing. I mean, so there's because they're really connect, you know, they're really tuning in and off of each other. And that's just an important piece to be,
right.
It's just not all about you. It's about the total. It's not a, it's a, not, it's the sum of the parts, not the parts.
Right. The communication and collaboration.
I think Chris can attest to this too, but when you're playing in a larger ensemble and, you know, you're playing pretty loud and you kind of pay attention to each other real closely because, you know, the guitarist might decide to play a little bit longer in the solo, or, you know, you just listen to and pay attention to and watch the folks in the other, you know, in the room with you.
Yeah,
it's so like a dance.
It's not all about you. Yeah,
that's right.
It's like an audio dance. What do they call that? Oh, music. Right.
Oh.
I guess I don't know. What is the difference between just sound and music?
So,
that's
Sarah,
philosophical. I don't want to get that deep.
Sarah, now that you're retired and now that music is, you know, a big thing in your life, or it always has been, how else do you spend your days?
Well, it's a bigger thing in my life now. I mean, yeah, it's something I feel like I've come back to it.
Yeah.
And that I'm really blessed and I really love it. How do I spend my days? Well, I've devoted a lot of time in this past year to either camping or preparing to go camping and going on these trips. I'm in these women travel groups, so that women traveling alone. I mean, this is another thing that's courageous that you do. I just had lunch with them over the weekend. And I work at the ARC, as I said, three times a week. I've been sewing a lot. I went back. I was also sewed a lot in my youth. So this year's theme for Christmas presents have been sewing projects that I've made for everybody. So I've been busy doing that. I feel like one of the things I did in retirement is I've paid people back some favors that I've been gathered over the years. You know, my friend, like I just mentioned, in Chicago, had surgery. When I had surgery a couple of years ago, she came out and stayed with me. She's been retired longer than me. And she stayed with me and took care of me. And so the opportunity came up where I could do the same thing back for her. And it was really nice. I was really happy about being able to do that. And that's happened a couple of times. Other few things there I've been able to help people out that have helped me in the past. I should spend more time on fixing my house up. I spend time thinking about it. I did clean today. Chris noticed right away.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't clean for our podcast. It's audio only. In fact, I have a virtual background. You can't even see my mess of a basement.
I can't even do my virtual background won't work here. Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, your actual background is terrific because, like I say, you've got your mandolin and your guitar. Tell me, that is a pump organ behind you,
yeah.
Which is something I didn't even know about until
It was a prairie. They used it in the prairie churches, right? It's very light, actually.
And really?
I got it from the School of Music because somebody donated a bunch of them and they were actually giving them away for a donation. So I got one for a donation. And, yeah, you pump it and you can play it.
Does it have like pedals or something?
Yeah.
Is it like a little accordion?
And yet, you have to sit and play, pump the bellows, and then play the organ.
Oh, well, I guess you don't get you don't get the foot pedals like in the regular pipe organ then, because your feet are powering the thing.
No, yeah, right. That's right.
That is cool because I never even seen one before, but it makes sense, you know, like a prairie church isn't going to have a full cathedral pipe organ, but they're going to need music.
And this could be easily moved from one place to another because it's very light.
What do you get your church get the organ once a month or something?
They rotate it around, maybe. I don't know what they did. Yeah. I told you it was from 1890 is what the date on it is.
That is crazy. Your background, and you've got the pump organ, and is that a piano back there? It looks like,
yeah,
and then just a whole lot of guitar cases.
Three guitars. I have 2 6 strings and a 12 string, yeah. And the books are over there, and I have some little bongo drum things, and I have what do you call this? This is a meditative instrument. A steel tongue drum.
Yes.
That you can use for kind of meditation stuff. That's pretty cool. I really like that. You just play
it. That is cool.
And see, that's another thing anybody could do. There's no songs to, it's kind of is it a pentatonic scale? I'm not sure if it is or not. You know, the pentatonic scales always sound good.
Yes.
So you just take the mallets and you just hit it as you feel like it and play it as you feel, and whatever you play sounds good, and you can play around with it and come up with your own little melody, and it's nice. Very soothing.
Yeah, pentatonic, that's almost universal. I mean, you can find that in cultures across the world that develop music individually. And I've been messing around. I've been trying to explore that a lot, you know, get down to, I'm like a scientist at heart. So we're going to put science under the microscope and, all right, figure out what is the true formula for music. And that is what I found, was that pentatonic is based on the harmonic series, which is not, that's physics. So everybody's going to have the same harmonic series. And I've been exploring with it a lot lately. You know, there's, how many notes do you really need? I don't know. 5, I guess. So are there any...
something minor or not?
Well, it's all about where you want to make the tonic. And that's really all about, that's what I can't figure out. Can you look at a piece of music and figure out what key it's in? Or is it just in your ear? I don't know. I'm working on it.
Those musicians can't. I bet you my niece could.
Yes. I think the more experience you get, the more you can. But that's just it. It's like it's something a gifted musician can do. But could you plug it in? This is me. Could you plug it into a mathematical formula and have that formula tell you what key it's in and actually be right? I don't know. Maybe? I don't know.
I got to tell you, that's not anything I've ever given any thought to.
Well, these are the things I think about all day, Mike. This is the pain of being me. And I do think that, I don't know, some people think that if you're examining stuff and into theory and whatever, that you lose, you know, magic. But I don't.
No, you don't lose it. I think it deepens it, but you don't have that. But I want to talk to the people who think that they can't do music. And I'm going to say you don't have to have it.
Nope.
You don't have
Not at all. Most musicians I know just kind of go by ear or experience. Some of the people, you know, really know, they can read music and know all of that stuff. And they're all great.
You know, the thing, the golden mean stuff, right? You know, the golden mean stuff is it's a math formula. If this is what you're into.
Yes.
And it defines the definition of beauty. I read this research thing once. It's trying to define beauty. They were talking more, I think, about artworks. And they showed people artworks that followed the golden mean, you know, like Michelangelo's David follows the golden mean. And they showed people artworks that didn't follow the golden mean. And they asked what's pleasing. And universally, people chose the ones that followed this, had the mathematical proportions. And there's another name.
I believe it's 61.8. Point 61.8% is the golden mean, I believe.
Right.
So I think that's like during your song, about 61.8%. That's where you want your climax to be. That's where stuff happens, you know.
Fibonacci series or something, which has to do with the way that pine cones are made and trees are formed and all of that stuff. That's kind of mathematical, math and art, where they come together, and math and music. So that mathematical way into the music and the harmonies and things.
Or art and nature.
Art and nature. It's interesting to know that, but it's not required, because I think that one is in people kind of intuitively gravitate towards it as pleasing. That's what they, you know.
Whether you know it or not.
Whether you know you're doing it or not, right.
But that's the cool thing, because we are talking a lot about beginners and how to get started, but that's no musician. There's so many ways you can take this, you know, if you want to explore science and nature side of it, if you want to explore the history side of it, if you want to explore, you know, the virtuosity. Like, there's so much about music that if it strikes your fancy, you know, you can delve into that. And there's... nobody knows it all. all musicians are still growing and learning more. And, you know, you're never going to run out. You're never going to run out of music.
No, and it's in our daily lives. You know, my kids used to laugh at me because sometimes when we were on a road trip, I was playing the recorder while we're on the road trip. And I would try to find out what note things like the windshield wiper were, right? What pitch is that, or what pitch is the wind going by, or what pitch is, and so we are surrounded actually by music all the time.
I agree. Everything in nature, you know, the sound of a river.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that's one of the things in my sciencey music endeavors. It comes down to oscillations and waveforms, and music are sound waves, but the same kind of waves apply to, if you want a water wave or a pendulum, or believe it or not, the probability waves of quantum particles follow many of the same rules. They have harmonics, just like music, they have harmonic resonance. Yeah. And it is amazing about how much, you know, learning about harmony and pitch and frequency, it is just a core part of everything, you know, when it comes down to it, like everything is a vibration in something. And music, it actually struck me. I mean, I clearly am a science geek and I thought it'd be important, but it really surprised me how much studying things like pitch and frequency, there's almost nothing it doesn't apply to. Mm. And all right, enough of my boring stuff. Sarah, how about, can you tell us about an experience where music was particularly helpful, maybe a difficult time in your life or just a celebration, something positive? Any interesting musical milestones you'd like to share?
Well, I already referenced my one that stands out immediately is, you know, I was planning this retirement and planning this travel trailer purchase and trip across the country for several years, really. It's been a long dream of mine. I mean, I used to camp as a child. I backpacked when I was my ex-husband and I used to backpack a lot, and then we went camping as a family a lot, and then you know, I find myself alone as a woman in her now 60s, and I'm going, I want to do it. I don't want to not do it. and I don't, you know, have somebody to travel with necessarily, so I'm going to do it, because I am kind of that way. I am a Taurus. And so I planned it for several years, and as I said, I was, you know, the pandemic really put me at home alone. But so singing songs, and the particular song that really spoke my life was Across the Great Divide by Kate Wolfe, which I've sung for you.
Yep.
Remember that? But she talks about, you know, she's talking about life changes and what's the past, and now she finds herself crossing the divide where the river flows the other direction. And that song really spoke to me, and I sang it constantly for probably a year and a half, planning this trip. And then of course I also sang California Dreaming because I wanted to go see my girls in California, and that's where I was going to go. Particularly Across the Great Divide kept me going through the pandemic and kept me focused. I'm going to do this. I divorce is not a fun thing after 25 years. And it wasn't my idea, and I wasn't expecting it. It pretty much devastated my life at the time. And so I survived a lot, and I was determined to get to this other side. Right.
That is awesome. Yeah. When I got divorced, I just joined a band again. you know, playing angry rock music that that helped me. But I didn't have a theme song for it.
Well, that wasn't, I mean, I didn't sing that song then. That was back right. in 2004 to 2006. But yeah, at that point, I hadn't really reconnected with the music yet. It took me a while.
You know, and that's the great thing, I mean, about music. And so many people we talk to say the same thing. You know, you could put it on a shelf. You know, you're busy and you've got other things in your life and you're not going to do music for a while. And then you pick it back up. It's still there for you. You don't, you know.
Here, I'll show you something.
Okay.
This is a thing. Let's see if I can find it here. It's right here. So this might be what brought me back to music after the divorce, because my daughters gave me piano lessons for a Christmas present.
Oh, that's a great Christmas present.
Yeah, 2012 this was. I hadn't played the piano. My one daughter, who was a music teacher, was a piano player. And they sent me this card and piano lessons for Christmas. And I'm gonna read the front of the card. You can't see it, so it doesn't matter. But it says, it's got just a stylized woman. After all that, she was surprised to find that she still knew the words to the song in her heart, and she began to sing along.
Oh.
Isn't that a great card?
That is.
Yeah.
And then they gave me piano lessons. After all that, she was surprised to find that she still knew the words to the song in her heart, and she began to sing along. So then I took piano lessons for a few years.
That is awesome. You know, and I think, well, just the last few years for all of us being kind of isolated and then locked down, I really have leaned on music, you know, to help. So much of it is just passing the time, you know, when you can't go out and do a lot of things anymore. And I think about what do people do without the music? You know, what could they lean on? I don't know, broadcast television?
Watch Netflix. It's true.
Well, I do that too.
when I am down or restless or bored, if I start playing something or if I start thinking about a song or like what song am I going to sing at the open mic next week, always mm-hmm. a little anxiety for me, I can sit down here. I can start Googling, look at the ultimate tab, find the words, find the chords, try to figure it out, print it out for myself. And all of a sudden, it's like 2 hours later.
Yes, it is just a joy.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like no time has passed at all.
It feels like no time has passed at all. No.
Yeah, because of
the joy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot my appointment.
That's why you set the timer.
Yes, we were talking about that. I'm a terrible time person. Yeah, I showed up on time this week.
I'm usually not a terrible time person. I'm usually early, and I have no excuse today.
All right, good. I'm glad you're loosening up a little, Mike. Relax, be late for something. Okay, well, Sarah, why don't we go into sort of what is kind of what we've been doing as a final question, is that if there are any other musicians you want to tell us about, maybe people that you think are really great, but we don't know them, or just maybe even some popular folks in the area that you'd like to give a shout out to.
Ah, well, I love all the guys on the open mic, and I love the guys in the acoustic jam.
Who's in the acoustic jam that isn't in the open mic?
There's a lot of people, but they're not meeting right now. And a lot of them didn't go to the open mic because and when we would do the acoustic jam, I mean, you know that, Mike, if you went, we would all be playing together. And there is a guy, Dave, who plays the saxophone. And he would come and he would play the saxophone on any song that we sang, and he would play, you know, riffs and things, and you can't really do that on Zoom, so you miss that. And there was another guy that came with trumpet. There's a guy that was like a one-man band. He had a trumpet, he had an accordion, he had a bunch of stuff that they would just play along. I love those guys, and that but it's about playing together. right?
Yeah.
And that stuff doesn't work on Zoom.
That is what we're missing. That's the
Yeah, so I mean,
key
the
ingredient.
things in the local community, I would say to folks, go to the Ark and check out people, even if you don't know them. I mean, you can listen to a song of theirs on, most everybody has
Right.
something. If they're playing at the Ark, they have something on YouTube. But there was a young woman there last night who, she's from Colorado, but she was the opener. Oh my gosh, I bought her CD. Now, it takes a lot for me to buy somebody's CD because, first of all, CDs are on their way out, as we all know.
I don't have many players anymore.
Right. But I just wanted to support her because she was so good. And just a young woman playing her guitar and singing by herself up there. And she was great. So go to the Ark and check it out. And sometimes the openers are as great or better. Sometimes people you never heard of
Right. Well,
are
yeah, I guess we got to discover new people somehow.
yeah, so I guess it, go listen to live music someplace.
All
It'll
right.
be
Well,
fun.
you've
But I
talked me
don't
into
know
the
who.
arc. I need to get out there.
Yeah, definitely you do. You can go online and look at the calendar and see what's coming up. But there's not as many shows as usual because
Yeah.
I'm still
But
trying to
there's
get
also
links.
the big Folk Fest coming up that
Oh, the Ann
supports
Arbor
the
Folk Fest. You should try that.
What's
Yeah.
that? Was that just, is
In
that outdoor
January.
or?
No, it's at
No, it's cold.
Auditorium. In that hill? Yes.
Yeah,
And
Hill. Hill
it's
Auditorium?
a
Or.
Friday and Saturday night. I think it's the last weekend in January, but I won't be here. I'll be still in California. So I usually always work it. Emmy Lou Harris is on there. And
Wow.
who are the people that are on there?
All right, take a look. I
I
have the
have never
internet.
been, so I'm not sure.
I'm trying to tell you in one second here, if you can hang in there. But get out and hear live music and find the people that you enjoy. So the Folk Festival is,
Oh, Punch Brothers
oh,
are
you're
going to be there.
looking
Oh man, I love them.
up. There you go, you're looking at it.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm familiar with any than either the Punch Brothers or Emmylou Lou Harris.
Emmy Lou Harris. You don't know who Emmy Lou
No,
Harris?
I said I'm familiar with her and the
Oh,
Punch
I was gonna
Brothers, but nobody else.
Glenn
No,
Hansard. You know who Glenn Hansard is?
I do.
I can't see. He's saying that what was the name of that movie? Isn't that Glenn Hansard? They did the movie I Don't Know You, But I Love You. I've sung that song before too.
Oh,
I
I know the
don't
song.
know. I think that's Glenn Hansard. Sarah Watkins was in Nickel Creek.
Yeah. Oh, I
Betty
did. She's
Griffin.
there. I didn't see
She's the
that.
MC.
Oh, okay. Oh, I MC Sarah Watkins. I
The
am a huge Sarah Watkins fan. I absolutely love her
are
music.
a lot of Michigan local people, and Lindsay Lou, and there's three of them. I have her album. What's it? May or May. Starts with an E. I can't remember her last name. They're very beautiful, though. Beautiful harmonies.
May Erlewine?
That's right. May your one, yeah. And then there's
Never
a
heard of
third.
her.
Then there's a third one. Yeah, but you just go and you will
He'll
enjoy
find
it.
something.
You will find people you didn't know. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's I'm gonna try to take your advice and get out of my basement and try to go see some music. But yeah, I would love to see Sarah Watkins and Punch Brothers and all of that. And probably everybody else is great too, but I won't know until I go.
That's right.
Right.
All right then.
That's
Well,
a great big venue, right? See, I love the
yeah.
Folk Festival because you get exposed to a lot, but you have to go to the Ark because the Ark is a small, intimate venue. And when you're at
Ah.
the Ark and you talk, you can talk if they come out, but lots of times if you volunteer there, you talk to the musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, it's personal.
Ed Scruggs has some great stories about talking to musicians from the Ark.
Yeah, I know Sarah does too. you had told us about
Arlo Guthrie.
yes.
I was talking to Arlo Guthrie, and he was smoking a cigarette. I was so disillusioned.
Oh, who else did you say? The guy who was on MASH. What was his name?
Loudon Wainwright.
Loudon Wainwright, yes. And you've probably met tons of people working
Well, I
there.
don't necessarily talk to them all because I don't put myself out there that much, but I could talk to them, and I've seen them all, and
All right, well, if we want to wrap it up, if there's anything else, I thought it's been amazing talking to you. And thanks for bringing some real, making it small in music, flavor.
So small that it's just inside of yourself. But
Doesn't get smaller.
then harmonize with somebody. Get good with yourself and then try to harmonize.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us, Sarah.
Well,
I
thank you for
appreciate
having
it.
me. I'm humbled that you asked.
Well,
and
yes.
I appreciate it because I've really never had a chance to talk to you either. And so it's been pleasant getting to know you.
Thank you.
Guys, everybody with their masters in social work. all
trying
right.
to bring collaboration to this world.
That's right.
So anyway, then I will do the outro. Thanks again, Sarah. It was great talking to you. We're going to be back next month with another exciting guest. We'll figure out who we've got. We are so many people I want to talk to. Literally,
so
I mean dozens and dozens of people. So and they all bring an interesting perspective, and I'm looking forward to it. And I will see everyone next month.
Thanks for
Thank you,
having
sir.
me.
Bye, Sarah.
All right.
Bye-bye.